Will you pray with me, church? Lord, our request this morning is simple. We pray that you would grow this church, provide the growth in our lives, and overcome anything that hinders that. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to pull some weeds to fit our growing season that we're in. And it's been about a month since we've been here preaching, living here, figuring everything out. And it's a good chance to take some inventory of how, in your life, how have you been growing in this season so far? There's been a lot of changes. And how have you been growing, and how have you seen God working in your own heart? I've been taking inventory of that. And this morning we're going to talk about laying aside sin, setting aside sin in our lives, just much like you would set aside weeds from your garden or field. They don't belong there. And this is our core text for today in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 20 through 24, and I'll read it through and then we'll go verse by verse on this. So verse 20 starts and says, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." So I'm going to start with a little story here. The home that we bought in Hampton was vacant for a while, and so there's some pretty good weeds on the property. And there still are some. We haven't gotten around to it. But I thought it was funny because I was sharing with a few folks how tall some of these are. And some of them are taller than me. And most of the people in the church I've shared that to have said, "Oh yeah, on the south side of the house, right?" I didn't even know these folks know where I live, let alone which side of the house the weeds are the tallest. And I thought that was really funny. Here I think I'm sharing a little secret, you know? And I think in our lives it's a little bit like that, you know. If sometimes you might say, "You know what, I have a little secret to tell you. I sometimes struggle with patience." And people are like, "Oh, you mean last Tuesday, right?" So, oh, okay. Maybe things aren't quite as hidden as we think they are. And you know, I don't think anyone could tell you really what kind of flowers are in my yard. You can't even see them behind the weeds there. And so sometimes we need to pull the weeds in order to create the growing conditions needed. And this first verse here, it talks about prior to this, the verses, it shares really terrible growing conditions. And here it starts saying, that's not what you've learned about Christ. And so far in this series, we've talked about growing, how God wants us to grow. And the verses prior to this, he's saying, that's the opposite. Sometimes we do the opposite of what God is asking us to do. And so I'm going to read the verses prior to this to you. It's kind of like when you get a plant and it comes with a little, I don't know what you call it, a little label, and it tells you the growing instructions, right? How much sunlight it needs, how much water. And these verses are not following the growing instructions. So in verse 17 it says, "With the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. for they are hopelessly confused. They're not following the growing instructions. Verse 18 says, their minds are full of darkness. Darkness isn't very good for growth, is it? It says, they wander from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. So they wandered away from the life God's wanting for them. The way that the Master Heavenly Gardener wants them to grow, they're following away from those instructions. And we have all started here. This is where we've all started. We've all been there. And it says that they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts. Another sign of not optimal growing conditions is hardened ground. Verse 19 says they have no sense of shame. Another translation says they've lost all sensitivity. It goes on, they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. And when I see that last phrase, practicing every kind of impurity, I just imagine having a plot of ground that has every kind of weed you can think of. And it's full of darkness. I think about maybe underneath a deck or inside a shed or something. There's no light. The ground is terrible. And all you got is some thistles and thorns. That's the only thing making its way in there. And then he says, that's not what you've learned about Christ for how to grow. Not at all. A verse we looked at last week was in verse 16, and it says that under Christ's direction, we're all fitting together, and as each part does its work, helping each other grow. So under the Master Gardener's direction, his instructions were growing. And then here it says, they're just hopelessly confused. And the sin in our lives, and even the weeds in our garden, are thanks to something that happened back in Genesis with the curse. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, there was thorns cursed on the land. And sin came in and corrupted. And so it says here in Ephesians 4, verse 22, it says, throw that off. It says, set it aside. It doesn't belong there. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. This verb for throw off, it appears about six other times in the New Testament in six different letters. And every time it mentions the same concept of throw off that old way of living. You've had enough time doing that. You realize the suffering in that. There's no freedom. There's confusion, like we looked at earlier, hopelessly confused, knowing what's a weed and what's not. That way of life is not fun. It says, set it aside. Throw it off. Set it where it belongs. And a perfect Father in heaven, he doesn't want weeds in your life because he loves you. He knows that they hurt you. And a good God has to hate the thorns in our lives. He has to. These thorns, they belong not in our lives, but we see it a lot through the Old Testament. The thorns are meant to be thrown in the fire. They're meant to get rid of. And sometimes we don't want to throw them off. Sometimes we get confused, even if they're there. It's almost like we have a real big thistle in our yard, and we think we're going to make this thistle look real nice. We go out with the scissors, and we try and cut off all the little thistles and all the little thorns. That's called sin management. You're trying to make it real functional looking, right? And man, we try and make so much of our sin functional. And someone who really loves a good garden probably just drives them nuts, saying, Rob, the south side of your house doesn't belong there. Pull them up. Get rid of them. There's some great scriptures. I mentioned there's six of them. I'll share two of them with you that are in the New Testament. One happens in Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, uses this verb of throw off. The New Living Translation here that we've been using, it translated as, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. In James chapter 1, verse 21, uses this verb again, the same concept. It says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. So set it aside, it says, and pull it up. I want to focus on this word too in this text. It says how it's corrupted by lust and deception. And the curse of the thorns on the land not only confuses us, what's a weed, what's a produce, but also corrupts. Another translation here is it rots it out. And there's no fruit from weeds. I think that's one way that you can figure out if it's a weed or not. Is what's it doing? Where's the fruit? And sometimes we do sin management and we say, well, I'm hoping no one really sees this. Or we do sin management and saying, I can kind of function. You can kind of fake that to an extent, but you can't really fake fruit. You can't fake it. Are you being productive? Are you living a life of love? And the second half of the text we're in today, it talks about this corruption coming from the curse back in the garden. And in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about what specifically are some things that we should set aside and throw off. And it uses that verb in verse 25 of set it aside. And it says, verse 25, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We're all parts of the same body. Verse 26, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So verse 25 says, set aside. And then in verse 26, it starts this list, and it goes on for a couple of verses, a list of, in the Greek it says may, and that's don't do it. So there are a bunch of negatives of don't do. And it says, talks about this anger, don't do that. It says it gives a foothold. And something about sin, something about weeds, that's good to remember is that they're a lot easier to pull up when they're young. In the month of May, specifically, is a lot easier. And if you don't pull them up, it says here, you can give a foothold to the devil. And I've battled a deep taproot on a weed before. That's tough work. If you give a foothold to the devil and you let the taproot go down and sin in your life, it starts getting a lot harder. A lot harder. And so an encouragement this morning is get them while they're little, because they'll come right up. You just take a rake and just scrape them off the top of the soil. Just say, you know what? Get out of here. The soil's not for you. And I think that's so good. So good. To take those inventories in our life. Just say, God, search me. And what can I set aside while it's little? That's the time to do it. That's the time to do it. Verse 28, it says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. So I like that. It's saying, don't steal. That's another sin. And I think combined with this is not being idle. Sometimes we think stealing in terms of just literally taking something from someone else. But if you think about a weed in the garden, it's stealing just by it being there. It's stealing nutrients. It's stealing sunlight. Its idleness is actually a form of stealing. And it says, get that out of here. It says, instead, use your hands for good hard work so you can give generously to others. So it says, this rotten weed, instead, produce some fruit instead. Verse 29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So same concept here. There's the weed, and then there's the real fruit to produce. Verse 30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. For this verse, when it talks about bringing sorrow to the Holy Spirit in our lives and remembering that we're his own, something I really hope each of you remembers, that if you've accepted Christ into your life, God looks at you differently now. He never looks at you like a weed, wanting to pull you up. For you're his own. There might be weeds in your life, but that's not who you are anymore. And the growth he's wanting to do in your life says you can bring sorrow to it. You can wilt what God is wanting to do in your life if you're not following his growing instructions. But he will never disown you. That's a lie of the enemy when he comes and says, look at your life. Who wants to see that? Well, God wants to see that. And he wants to enter into that with you. So what should we be doing instead? It says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So when we do the weed or fruit test, something that's a weed is something that's not bearing fruit. And we should be putting on our new nature. We've seen that through this text so far. And it's good to remember what we were created to be. Like Adam and Eve created to bear fruit in the garden, we're to be doing that. And if we rewind a little bit back to Ephesians chapter 2, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we're created anew. So what got messed up in the curse of the garden and the curse of the thorns, God created us anew, given a new chance, created in Christ, to live a different life. We can bear fruit, and we don't have to just produce weeds in our lives anymore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. In 32, I'll read now, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. So get all the weeds, it says. And that verb in the beginning of verse 31 of get rid of, it's a verb that means to raise up. Raise it up. Raise it up. That's a little different than just setting aside. I pulled weeds and I set them aside a couple weeks ago. And then yesterday, before hosting Hosanna's birthday party, I raised them up and I hauled them away. I got them out of there. And it says here, don't just set it aside, but get it out of here. Those dead weeds might have seeds. You don't want them on your property. Raise them up. That's where they belong. And then in verse 32, it says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And I love that it ends here. I love that it ends here because proper growing instructions, as we've been looking at this month, we talked about growing vertically in our relationship with God and horizontally with each other, and here we see both of those aspects of forgiving each other, just as God has forgiven us. And that's required. And I think a lot of reasons people are sometimes afraid to join a church is because they think about the thorns. They've lived long enough to know that life hurts and that people sometimes hurt you. They've lived long enough to know that we each have our own faults as well. And so to enter the household of God and brush shoulders and put an arm around a brother, when we've got thorns in our lives, that can be painful sometimes. And I've been wrestling with this in my spirit this week, just saying, God, I'm kind of scared of this sometimes because I know I have my faults and I know other people will have their faults. You ever heard a story of someone getting hurt in a church? Yeah, that's a real deal. Those are thorns and weeds in our lives. And what are we supposed to do with them? Where are they supposed to go? They're supposed to go to the cross. There's bad news. There's a curse of thorns on the land. But there's good news. Because God came as Jesus and he took a crown of thorns on his head on the cross. He took that curse upon himself. And he died for that sin. He died for your sin. He died for the sin of the person that might hurt you. And I'm sorry that you have to still experience the thorns. Because life still hurts as we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ to ultimately restore all things, where there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more thorns. So as you think about the sin in your life, or you think about the sin in others that has hurt you or might hurt you in the future, you can press into the household of God knowing that you can take it to the cross when those thorns come. Those thorns belong not in your life. They don't belong in bitterness and anger with a deep taproot. They don't belong in slandering one another. They belong in verse 32. They belong in forgiveness. They belong on the cross. Each thorn, each weed, it belongs in the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. Not because we deserve it, but because he loved us so much, he is willing to take it upon himself. Past, present, and future sin, all of it, he took upon himself. So that we can take the weeds in our lives, we can raise it away, and bring it to our Heavenly Father. Say, Father, take this. Take the thorn from my flesh. I give it to you because you paid for it. I don't know why, it's not fair, but you took it upon you. And as we do that, Faith Baptist Church, it makes space for things to grow. And I'm telling you, we need that space to grow. Because God is on the move. His Spirit, like a master farmer, is growing us to be more like Him. To be more like His family and the household He wants to see. Will you join me in that? We have communion next week. So instead of giving you 3 minutes to prepare your hearts, I'm giving you 7 days to look over your life. I want you to think about the thorns. When you drive by the south side of my house, I want you to think about what a wonderful sermon illustration that is. Rather than why pastor hasn't gotten around to it. And I want to tell you, the pain that comes with the thorns in our lives, I think it's a wake-up call when it hurts. I think it's okay that sin doesn't feel great. It actually really hurts. And I think it's a good wake-up call when you feel that pain to cry out to God and say, God, take my weeds, take my thorns, the ones that might have a really deep taproot that I've been pulling on for years. God, soften the ground of my heart so that that thing can come up. And if there's a weed that really strikes fear in your heart of, boy, that thing's a tree by now. I've got a small bush or tree that's hanging over my sidewalk, and I thought I should trim that up, get it off the sidewalk. And then I thought to myself, that thing's a weed. That's not a tree. That's not even supposed to be there. Who would plant a tree on the edge of my sidewalk? But if there's a taproot the size of a tree in your life, it still stands no chance to an almighty God wearing a crown of thorns. And the roots on that tree, the days for it are numbered. Because Christ won. The Roundup has been sprayed. You give another week, another month, that thing's going away. It's not going to last. About a week or so ago, someone was spraying the weeds out there. And he said, well, I think I got them all. I'm not sure. I said, well, in about a week, we'll find out. So if you sprayed Roundup on it, if you've sprinkled the blood of Christ on your life, in every corner, in every area of your life, every sin, then it's just a matter of time. So let's not wilt the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's not hinder what God is wanting to do. Let's do that to the thorns, to the weeds, as the Holy Spirit just wanting to farm the land of our hearts. I have a verse out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. It says, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. You might think that sounds kind of harsh. Shouldn't God be a little more tolerant? God is not tolerant for the things that hurt his children. He wants to get it out of there. And like the parable of the sower, where God's casting seed across our hearts, some falls on thorns, some on hard ground, doesn't bear anything. Let's be the soil where it takes root, it grows up, and it yields 100-fold. Let's let God use us in that way. That sounds a lot more fun. You know, a garden, someone doesn't garden just because they like the look of dirt. But if you look at a garden that's just perfect, not a single thing out of place, there's great anticipation. You're still trusting that God will bring the rain, that God will bring the sun, but there's great anticipation because you just know that that produce or those flowers are in really good shape. You just know the potential that they have the opportunity to continue growing up and growing out. And as I look at Faith Baptist, I have that anticipation, knowing that as we're clearing the rows between ourselves, we can grow up and we can grow out. Our chains are gone. We've been set free. Let's walk in that. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray for each heart here. I thank you that you led them to join us together as a household this morning. And I pray for what you might be doing in their hearts, Lord. I pray that instead of confusion of thorns, wondering what's a weed or what's not, I pray that you give clarity, that we can really see into our own hearts. And that has to be a gift from your Holy Spirit, for our hearts are deceitful. But your Spirit, it convicts us of sin. It shows us. Not in order to hurt us, but to help us grow. And so we ask for that, Lord. What's the next weed in our life? The one that maybe everyone sees but us. And Lord, I pray about the corruption that the curse of the thorns brings. Though outward it might look good, inside it's rotten and producing no fruit. I pray for the joy of producing fruit in our lives, that we might see that, that in a week we can look back and say, you know what, God? You grew a little more in me this week. And I thank you, God, for the day when you return, when you make all things right, when every taproot will be pulled up that doesn't belong, and when you will firmly plant and establish the way that you intended from the very beginning, that we might walk in harmony, full of love with you and with each other. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.